You are listening to BensTorah.com.
A week ago, I was asked by an individual who, and his advisor, who is somebody, a wonderful, wonderful Ben Torah, a Yirei Shamayim, a person who's very careful about mitzvahs, who is suffering with a very severe case of OCD, of obsessive compulsive disorder. And not really important to go into the manifestations of how this specific person's situation manifests itself. What is important is one specific manifestation, and that is that in the mornings, the person is unable to get out of bed until late in the afternoon. And part of the reason is because they're scared to daven. They're scared to daven because davening is a very terrifying experience for them. Because of their OCD, they're scared of not saying the words right. They're scared of not making the right zman. And because of that, they stay in bed and don't get out of bed till the afternoon. It's a very terrible, severe case of OCD. Obviously, there are many levels of OCD, and I'm not trying to play therapist. I'm not trying to pretend I'm a psychologist nor a psychiatrist. I'm not saying I'm an expert in OCD whatsoever. But in the attempts to deal with the Shaila, I'm going to try to give you a little bit of what I learned over the past little while that I've been involved with this person, that I've been involved with this Shaila, in my speakings with professionals over the course of the past few years dealing with this issue, and more recently over the course of the week dealing with this specific Shaila. So obsessive compulsive disorder, as I understand, is defined by the DSM-4, which is the manual of psychological disease manual, if you'll say like that, mental health manual, as having two components or three components: obsessions and compulsions. Obsession is if somebody is, their mind is focused on, hyper focused on a certain point, and the compulsion, that's the obsession, and it has to be a compulsion, is that they act based on it. So that their actions, they're obsessing about doing certain something, and there's something scared about something, they're scared they're going to go to Gehenna. And this is true among Jews or non-Jews. It could have to do with mitzvos. It could have to do with people's perception of spirituality. It has to do also with people who are germophobes. They're terrified that the germs are going to get them, and therefore they'll wash their hands incessantly. There are other people whose manifestations, they're terrified that somebody's going to break into their house, and they'll check the locks on their door incessantly. So you have to have two components in order to be considered to have this disorder, and that is the obsession of my mind is hyper-focused, oh my God, I'm going to be burning Gehenna, or oh my God, somebody's going to break into my house, or oh my God, the germs are going to get me. And secondly, the compulsion, which would be, but I have to repeat every word of Kriya Shema 17 times to make sure I said it correctly, or I have to check the lock on my door 25 times to make sure it's really locked, or I have to wash my hands 37 times a day because there might be a germ on my hand. So those would be the compulsions that are the cause of the obsession. Now, according to the manual, there has to be a third category, a third criteria that has to be met, and that is that it has to impair the person's functionality. So the case that I had, that I'm dealing with, the shadow that was presented to me, was that the person has an obsession about fear of davening properly. Oftentimes, this manifests itself as a situation when somebody with OCD, oftentimes they are people who repeat words in davening many, many, many times because they fear they did not fulfill the words properly. The compulsion was that they act on it by, in this case, that he can't get out of bed because I'm not sure how that exactly fulfills the compulsion requirement. But there are other compulsions that this person presents with, but this is the one that I was dealing with, that I was asked about. And it certainly impacts the person's life because this person is not able to get out of bed until, he realizes, Shkia is coming and I have to put on my tefillin and I have to maybe get mincha in and it's almost Shkia, so let me get out of bed now. So he'll lie in bed awake from 8 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, 5 in the afternoon because he's scared of the pain that's involved. If he has to daven and the davening, he's not sure if he's doing it right, that just generates an incredible amount of internal turmoil that a person who doesn't have this disease might not be able to appreciate and might not be able to understand, but the pain that they endure is incredible, incredible, incredible pain. So my goal is not to, I mean, my you know, to relieve their pain, they have to see a psychiatrist and a psychologist, but to deal with some of the applications as a from person, that's where this came to me. So the question was presented to me that maybe this person, because they feel this pressure of having to daven, and once you have to daven properly, they are scared to get out of bed. And therefore, it was suggested to me by this person together with their advisor, their professional advisor, if I could say that he doesn't have a chiyuv to daven. Okay, but it's a step more than that. That this person, could I tell him that because of his OCD and because of the paralyzing component of this OCD, could I tell him that he doesn't have a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa? That's terrifying. For me to say, for somebody to say that a Jew is not going to have a mitzvah d'rabbanan, that's a self-scare. But to say, for a rabbi to get up and say, you don't have a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema, it's a terrifying question. I felt it was terrifying. I was terrified when I was asked this question. How could somebody say that you don't have a mitzvah d'oraisa? Just wipe away, erase a pasuk in the Chumash. So I set out on a little bit of a journey over the past week to try to research a little bit more about OCD, speaking with professionals as well as speaking with Gedolim to try to get a little bit more into this sugya. So I'm going to present what I think might be four different mahalchim about how to respond to this shaila, and I think each one of them might not be perfect, but if we have all them together, I think we will come out with a very specific answer and response to this person's question about, can I tell him that because of your OCD, and which causes you to not be able to get out of bed and you're completely dysfunctional for a good half of the day, therefore maybe you shouldn't daven at all, or say Kriya Shema at all. So let's start with one very interesting svara. There's a concept in halacha, in Chil Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh, Chalel Olav Shabbos Achas, Kedei Shishmar Shabbos Asharbe. In other words, when the Gemara in Yuma asks the question, why are you allowed to save a life? Why are you allowed to drive to the hospital on Shabbos? Why are you allowed to call Hatzalah on Shabbos? So there's a long discussion with many suggestions of why you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. One of the suggestions, maybe it's not the final suggestion, but along the way, one of the suggestions is as follows, that you should be Mechal Shabbos today, because if you're not going to be Mechal this Shabbos, you're not going to drive to the hospital this Shabbos, you're not going to call Hatzalah this Shabbos, well, guess what? Next Shabbos, there won't be a next Shabbos to fulfill. So better that you violate this Shabbos so you can fulfill next Shabbos. Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kedei Shishmer Shabbos Asharbe. Now, this means that if you could save a life and help a person make it to next Shabbos, then you should definitely save his life. It happens to be, let me share with you my screen. It happens to be that when you are Mechal Shabbos, we're Mechal Shabbos even if we're not going to be able to get the person to live till next Shabbos. Even if it's going to be what we call Chayesha, and the person will only be able to live until another 45 minutes. They'll live, I do this life-saving therapy on Shabbos, I'm Mechal Shabbos, I drive into the hospital will keep him awake, will keep him alive for an extra 30 minutes, 40 minutes on Shabbos afternoon. So I'm still going to be Mechal Shabbos. That's what the Shulchan Aruch here passes in Shin Chav Tes. Afil mitzaohu rut merutzah. So let's say you find somebody who's under the debris of an avalanche, of a collapsed building, and you find his body's completely shattered. He's completely chopped up, literally. He's only going to be able to live a little bit longer. Are you allowed to violate a malacha d'oraisa and get a bulldozer and carefully clean out the debris from the to save this person and let the person live a few more breaths of oxygen so that he can live a little bit longer? Says the Shulchan Aruch, yes. Even though, now keep in mind, if the svara is Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kedei Shishmer Shabbos is Harbe, you're not enabling him to live any more Shabbos. He's going to die anyway in 20 minutes. But you're giving him 20 more minutes of life, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. He asks the Beir Halacha on that Shulchan Aruch. The Shechavetz Chaim asks, what do you mean? The whole reason that we're permitting you to violate Shabbos is that he could have many more Shabbosim to to live and to practice and to fulfill, well, here that's not happening. Says the Beir Halacha, he quotes a Meiri, that teaches us a fascinating idea. The Lav Davka Shabbos. When we say, B'michal Shabbos, so that you could keep more Shabbosim, it doesn't just mean more Shabbosim. Look at this Meiri. The Meiri in Yuma says, Afal pi, she'ief sharlo lechios achil sha'achas, even though he could only live one more hour, and it's not going to be another Shabbos that he's going to live, but afil sha'achas sheba'os ha'shah yoshev b'libav yisgadeh. If he lives another 20 minutes, guess what? He could fulfill in those 20 minutes a mitzvah of vidui. He could fulfill a mitzvah of tshuva as he's about to die and live those extra 20 minutes. Let's pause. Tamer. What we see here is that this concept of b'mechal Shabbos is permitted not just because for the sake of keeping more Shabbosim, but for the sake of any mitzvah. So that means by Shabbos, that's what the Meiri is saying, right? He's saying b'mechal Shabbos so that he could live 20 minutes longer and he could do tshuva. There's nothing about tshuva either. It's about the fact that he could do another mitzvah. So you see that there's a concept, at least in the Meiri's understanding of this halacha of chalel Shabbos achas, that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, you're allowed to violate an issur d'oraisa of achiyus stila of Shabbos, even an issur d'oraisa of Shabbos, so that you can have the potential to do more mitzvos. Wow. Let's think how that svara will apply to my shaila. You have somebody who, because of their disability, because of their illness, is not able to do mitzvos. Because his OCD is pulling him down and not letting him get out of bed for the first 7 hours of the day, he's not able to go to shul. This is a person who would go to shul. He's totally from Yirei Shemayim, young man. He was not able to daven at all. He's not able to daven bizman. He's not able to say Kriya Shema. He misses Kriya Shema bizman because he's too scared to say it. The OCD is paralyzing him. So maybe we could apply the logic. Chalel olav Shabbos achas. Well, let's not be mechal Shabbos for him. Let's just tell him, don't do your Kriya Shema or your davening so that you will, what? So that he won't have this OCD manifestation, this compulsion of not being able to get out of bed. And then he'll be able to be a productive person who, if he feels that he doesn't have to daven, he'll get out of bed and you know what he's going to do? I know this person, so I'm saying I know that's a good chance that he might do this. He'll probably daven. Why? Because he knows he doesn't have to. You hear that? You know, like Tosus, when I was speaking to Rav Shechter, he says it sounds a little bit like the Gemara, the Tosus in Kiddush that says that because the Yetzirah tries to get people, when you have to do something, you don't want to do it. When you don't have to do it, then it's much easier to do it. There's a lot of psychology of that Tosus also. So if I tell him, you have a sickness, you know, he knows he's ill, he knows he has a sickness of OCD, because of your sickness, you're putter from this mitzvah. Well, now, what will he be able to do? Because he's putter from this mitzvah, this is the idea, this is the possibility. Because he's putter from the mitzvah of Shema, of Tefillah, he won't feel that pressure that, oh, I have to get up and do it. If he doesn't feel the pressure, then maybe he'll be able to get up at a normal hour, like a normal person, and do what a normal person, what he wants to do. He wants to daven. He wants to say Kriya Shema Bisman. He just can't, because he's terrified about it. And that paralyzes him because of this terrible illness. That's a svara that I think we could consider. Based on this concept of halel of Shabbos achas, applied not only to keeping more Shabbos, but to keeping other mitzvahs. Now this, Rav Asher Weiss cites a fascinating, a well-known tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. Because the Chasam Sofer was asked a terrifying question, and this question, unfortunately, does come up in modern-day times. Specifically, when people are suffering, God forbid, addictions and the like, and they sometimes need to go to rehabs. And it could be an eating disorder. It could be a substance abuse situation. And when you go to rehab, sometimes they have rehabs with glad kosher food. Sometimes there could be a situation where a person, specifically a young woman, young man too, could, God forbid, suffer from anorexia, bulimia, an eating disorder, and they have to be treated because you could die from such an eating disorder, and they have to be sent to a rehab center, I don't know what it's called, some kind of rehab center that specializes in eating disorders, and part of the experience is eating the food together with everybody else, eating the same food, and the food is a big part of it. Obviously, for eating disorders, that's certainly the case. Now, is there a kosher, center for such eating disorders? Perhaps not going there. Let's say it is advised that this person go to a very specific center that will have a greater chance to cure them and therefore a greater chance to, make sure that they'll live. But the problem is that the food that they can eat is non-kosher. It's almost also derisive. It's going to be clearly non-kosher food. If they say they'll eat some things and other things, that defeats the whole purpose of going for an eating disorder issue. So that's one kind of shaila. Here we're going to ask a shaila that's a little bit different, because there it's more of a shaila pikuach nefesh. If a person is going to suffer with anorexia or bulimia, they could die from that eating disorder. The Chasam Sofer's shaila was not asked about somebody who God forbid, die from their situation. The Chasam Sofer's shaila was about the following, about a 7-year-old boy who was mentally off. I don't know if he was autistic. I don't know if he had some other kind of... He was somehow on the spectrum. The Chasam Sofer didn't have that lingo to say the spectrum or the autism, but look at how he's described. Now, it's important to realize that the shaila was about this 7-year-old boy whose father passed away, and his father was fabulously wealthy and left a very significant Yerusha to take care of this son. And therefore, money was not an object and could buy whatever care was necessary for him. But this is the shaila. That the Chasam Sofer, Chelek Aleph, or Chaim, Sim Pei Gimel is asked. So a certain person left behind a 7-year-old boy. V'hanar b'chol ma'asav kimisateya. He is foolish. Midaber, he speaks. So he could speak, he could talk. V'ach kol dvarim. I'm not sure what that means. U'ba'asmo eno yodeya ma'hu midaber. He doesn't know what he's saying. He's just saying words. He could just say words, but he doesn't really know what he's saying. He hears people talking to him, but he doesn't get the point of what people are saying to him. He doesn't really understand the point of what they're saying. He's not deaf, he's not mute, but he's not coherent. Everything that he does indicate that he's somewhat of a shota, and he is somebody of weak mental faculties. But the father left a lot of money to this kid, and there's no one else to yarish the father. Based on that, the relatives brought him to the experts in the town, or the Rofim Mumchem Menusim, to figure out what could they do to heal this young man. And all the doctors in the town said the following. They said he has a little bit of intelligence, but he has a weak brain. Again, we have more sophisticated ways of say presenting the shaila nowadays, but you'll see the point is the same point. And they say the only thing that we could do is send him to the city Vienne. We could have to send him to the big city, to Vienna. There's a school, or the city Vatzin, somewhat with Pest. I assume there's Buda and Pest. And right near Pest, I think that's in Hungary, there was a special institute for special needs children. There's a place that teaches these kinds of children, autistic children, intelligence. They could teach these children. If he goes to get his special needs attended to, it's clear that he'll be able to climb in his cognitive faculties. He'll get better. He might not ever become totally charif like other people, but at least he'll be able to deal with whatever he has to deal with. He'll be able to live a proper life. What's the problem? That's the background. The problem is, the policy of this school is that you can't have somebody bring you your own lunch every day. Part of it is the social environment, being like everybody else. Lo yonichu lehovil lo shama davar mimakom acher, v'hu tzarech lios bechevra v'agudos konim tzam shama, af v'macholon v'mashka. This sounds exactly like the type of setup that a person who has to be sent away to a facility for an eating disorder, you have to be part of the chevra, you have to be part of the social environment. You can't be different by eating different foods, drinking different drinks. The question is, can we send him there because he's going to eat nevelas and treifas or not? It's a long shiloh. That was the shiloh. Terrible shiloh. Painful shiloh. It's a long tshuva. I'm going to take out a few snippets from this tshuva. And one snippet specifically that Rav Asher Weiss draws from this tshuva to apply to our shiloh of dealing with somebody who has OCD and possibly, based on the following tshuva, which we'll see momentarily, find a heter to say that this person does not have to fulfill the mitzvah. In the hope that him not being obligated in the mitzvah, he will therefore be, I can't say cured of the OCD, but at least be able to get up in the mornings and function like a human being. And this is the svara that this is a few points that the Chasam Sofer sets forth. First he says, is this 7-year-old a pater, a shota? That could be. Now, the halacha is, whether it's a shota, not a shota, or even a child, the halacha is you're not allowed to hand non-kosher food to a child. That's also d'oraisa. It's also d'oraisa to hand non-kosher food to a shota or to a child. But the question is, and this is the shaila, is it better that he should be mechalel Torah's ma'ma? He should violate the Torah for a certain amount of time so that he could be shomer mitzvahs harbe? That's the question. If we feed him, the goal is not to just send him to this facility where he's going to eat treif for the rest of his life. There won't be a beginning to a shaila. You have no right to do that. You have no right to feed non-kosher food to a Jew, even if the Jew is a shota, even if the Jew is a katan. That's usur. The question is, if you feed him non-kosher food for a short amount of time, that will enable him to do mitzvahs for the rest of his life. That sounds a little bit like my shaila. Maybe if I tell him, you don't have to daven for the next, month or two, that for the rest of his life, he might be more able to be a functional shomer mitzvos. And look at this very fascinating source that the Chasam Sofer cites that also will inform our question as well. And this is a point that the Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss cites in his tshuva relating to OCD. Remember, this child of the Chasam Sofer is not about OCD. So we're sending a 7-year-old boy who's a little bit of a shota to a monastery or some school where there's going to be trade food. We're going to see how we could apply it to our question. Says the Chasam Sofer, there's a story in the Gemara. Gemara tells the following story about somebody who gets lost in the desert and loses count of what day of the week it is. So, do we allow him to walk more than Tum Shabbos in trying to, every day, he has to be aware that every day every day might be Shabbos. So maybe he shouldn't do malachas any day. Look what he's quoting a chazal. I'm not sure where exactly the chazal is. Maybe it's going to Erevin or Shabbos. You should do what you need to keep yourself alive, but more than that, you shouldn't be violating Yisurim, because every day might be Shabbos. Rishum Safik Shabbos. Except one exception. We allow him to walk wherever he wants, even outside of the Tchum, even if it would be a Tchum Shabbos D'Oraisa. What? I thought you said you don't want him doing malachas that are unnecessary because it might be Shabbos. Any day he's traveling to the desert, he doesn't know when it's Shabbos, when it's not Shabbos. So whatever he needs to keep alive, to stay safe, to stay fed, hydrated, protected from, getting sick and protected from, dangerous animals, he has to do, obviously, to keep himself alive and healthy. But who's to say, then how come, but anything else he shouldn't really get involved with because it might be Shabbos, with one exception. That he could walk as far as he wants and doesn't have to worry about Tchum Shabbos, even about Tchum Shabbos D'Oraisa. Why? Why is the permission, the heter, to walk as far as he wants, why is that okay? Why don't we say, like the other halachas, that he shouldn't do more than is necessary? Look at these words. D'ilav hachi lo yagi l'olam yishuv. Because if he doesn't walk and wander and walk and walk and walk, he's never going to find civilization and find out when really is Shabbos and join a Jewish community again. You hear that? So the Chasam Sofer is bringing a raya from this case that we allow somebody to violate an Issur D'Oraisa while he's lost so that he will hopefully in the future be able to resume normal Jewish life. Wow. I'm allowed to violate Shabbos, not to save a life, but to be able to fulfill mitzvahs properly in the future. Isn't that a brilliant find for the Chasam Sofer? So he's applying it to the case of this 7-year-old boy being sent to this non-kosher facility in the hope that he will become normal and be able to do mitzvahs normally for the rest of his life. Says Rav Asher Weiss, we could apply the same logic to somebody who has OCD. Tell him that perhaps he's pater from a certain mitzvah, or he let him not do a certain mitzvah, a certain halacha, whatever the details are, so that he can have a lifetime rich with mitzvahs and not be paralyzed by this OCD. That's a fabulous svara that the Chasam Sofer puts forth.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Chasam Sofer talks more about some other points that are relevant to his Shaila. His Shaila is, in a certain sense, a worse Shaila, because the Chasam Sofer is dealing with violating an Isser of feeding the child non-kosher food. The child is eating non-kosher food. You're violating the Isser, sending him to a place where he's eating non-kosher food, which is also an Isser. The Shaila of OCD that I was asked is not to tell somebody to do an Isser, that is going to be much harder to permit. The Shaila is to tell somebody that he doesn't have to fulfill a mitzvah asay, which is a little bit lighter than saying that somebody is permitted to violate a mitzvah lo asay. I'll just give you an example. We know that Chachamim, Yesh Koch B'yai Chachamim, to say, don't do a mitzvah asay. B'shev Al Tais, don't do a mitzvah asay. That the Chachamim have the rights to do. Chachamim don't typically, under normal circumstances, have the right to say, get up and do, violate an Issa D'oraisa. They can't say that. So, under normal circumstances, in extenuating cases, there's something that they're allowed to do that also, but we're not going to get into that. Under normal circumstances, Yeshkach B'yach Chachamim, Lakra Davon HaTorah, B'shev Al Tasa, tell them, don't do the Mitzvah D'oraisa. That is within the realm of Chachamim. So you see an idea that sometimes it's easier to tell somebody, don't do a Mitzvah D'oraisa, which is really what the Shailas are typically by OCD. They get very, the most common one, for example, is again, they repeat Shema, they repeat Tefillah, and they're absolutely convinced that they said it wrong. They're absolutely convinced they weren't Yotzi the first time. They have to do it again and again and again to say it right. They're absolutely convinced about this. So I could tell them, in their minds, if you say they can't repeat, what are you doing? In their minds, you're telling them they're not going to fulfill the mitzvah. So could we do that? Could we tell a person who has that manifestation, that compulsion, where they repeat tefillah, and in their minds they're not biyotze if they wouldn't do that, if they wouldn't otherwise repeat the tefillah, so the words, you're telling them that they shouldn't fulfill it in their minds. In their minds, they're not fulfilling the mitzvah. They think they're completely convinced they got it wrong. They said the word wrong. They didn't say the word properly. I'm sure many of us have encountered in our davenings and shuls and bat medrash, certain individuals who repeat words very, very often to a great extent. And those are different levels of people who have some level of OCD. I understand from my research, the research indicates that about 2% of the population, at least in America, I'm assuming it's a worldwide phenomenon, 2% of the population is affected with some measure of OCD, 2 to 3%. So it's not uncommon. If you have a yeshiva with 100 kids, there's going to be 2 or 3 of them who have this issue. If you have a yeshiva with 1,000 kids, there's going to be 20 or 30 of them who have some level of this issue. So it's something that needs to be reckoned with. So that's the Chasam Sofer. So how did the Chasam Sofer himself come out? Just to know the conclusion of his Shaila. Again, his Shaila is worse because there's an Isser involved. Our Shaila is more light, more kal, because it's just telling him that he doesn't have to do Mitzvah Asay. But what did the Chasam Sofer passing that terrifying Shaila of the 7-year-old who's autistic? But neither should the Fanana, says the Chasam Sofer, he says, you're not telling the kid, eat treif. You're putting him in a situation where, guess what, they're serving treif food. So he says it's a little more lenient than actually handing somebody treif food. You're not putting treif food in his mouth. That might not be as easy to permit. You're just putting him, kemamid eitz l'nevela. You're putting a kid who's hungry right next to a McDonald's burger. You're not feeding him. Or you know what else it's like? It's like putting a kid with something in his hand right next to the right underneath the Erev line. He's going to take three steps out, and he's going to carry outside the Erev. You put him, you situate him right at the edge of the Erev with a ball in his hand, and you put him down, and then you walk away. Well, obviously, you know he's going to walk after you outside the Erev carrying a ball, but you didn't make him do it. So that's what the Chasam Sofer says. You're not actually feeding him Isser. You're just setting him up in a situation where he will do an Isser. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that it would be mutter in that case. Imkein hachashari, as long as, but he says, once the boy is bar mitzvah, you have to take him out. That's what he says is Mirka Hadin the Halacha. Okay. So again, that wasn't exactly our question, because there was talking about actually doing Isurim. Our question is a little more lenient question, but that point that Rav Asher Weiss, when he writes his tshuva on OCD, he did highlight the case of walking more than the Tchum Shabbos on Shabbos, violating Shabbos with the Reis, in the hope of, in the future, being able to be Shomer Shabbosos better. Which is really, going back to the beginning of what we spoke about at the very first line of the Shir, is that that's sort of the concept of Chalil of Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishmer Shabbosos Harbe, that let him violate some halachas now, so that in the future he'll be able to be Mekayim Mitzvos better. That's the first Svara that I wanted to put forth. I'd like to present another three svaras, perhaps to be matir, my shaila, and perhaps to tell this young man that you are not, because of your illness, you are not obligated in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. You are not obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah at all. Or certainly tefillah Shachris, whatever it would be. Here, there's a shaila asked to the Besamim Rosh about a very interesting question. I had a question similar to this, a student of mine. The question that was asked of a Besamim Rosh was, a woman can't eat marah. If she eats marah, she'll get sick for a day or two. Now, I've had this question numerous times by people who are celiac. Celiac, and it comes to Pesach, and they can't eat matzah. So now there are all kinds of other options. There's spelt matzah, there's oat matzah, there's rye matzah, and I forget which one is okay. I think the spelt matzah doesn't have gluten. They can have gluten-free, there's gluten-free matzah, so now it's easier to get. I had a student who, for medical reasons, I don't know exactly what the medical reasons were, wasn't eating any grains, wasn't eating any wheat, none of them, no wheats. Not even a kazayas. If you eat a kazayas of matzah, of any sort of matzah, even the gluten-free matzah, if it wasn't celiac, something else, his gastrointestinal situation would be off kilter for whatever it would be, as in a serious way. Not in a pikuach nefesh, but his gastrointestinal health will be affected in a meaningful way for a few days, and therefore he asked me, does he have to eat matzah? That's really the shah that was asked by some Rosh, except that shah was about Marah. My students asked me about matzah. So, says by some Rosh, well, Marah is not such a big shah, because anyway, Marah is only the Rabbanon. Let's talk about matzah. If you can't eat matzah, because you're going to get sick if you eat matzah. No, that was great. That's Mamash my shayla. Look what he says. Again, this is not a quote, direct quote from the Besam Rosh. This is cited by the Cheshuke Shechemet on Megillah Daf Gimel. But the tshuva that he's quoting the Besam Rosh is Simon Tzadi Dalin. So it's not clear that women are chayv marah at all, and maybe it's only the Rabbanon, but clearly women have to eat matzah and matzah daraisa. I still think somebody who would get sick from eating matzah is putter from eating matzah. And listen to two svaras. And I think that these svaras will very much apply, at least one of them, to our situation of the young man who has OCD, and perhaps the davening in the morning or saying Kriya Shema is the same, does it with, to him, what eating this matzah and marah does to somebody who's allergic to matzah and marah. It messes him up. Svara number one that the Besam Rosh puts forth, let's see it inside. Mishum. This is going to be a very funny sounding svara. It's going to sound very ethereal, very amorphous, but look what he says. Mishum shahatorah l'chaim nitzna. Torah was given for life. It's not Dachinoam that you should have, that the Torah should tell you to do something that you suffer from. Whoa, what do you mean? There are a lot of things in Judaism that are difficult for me. Are you kidding? I have to wake up for Shacharis every day. My friends are getting up at 11, 12 every day when they're off. I have to wake up for Shacharis. No. That doesn't mean that you have to love everything about every aspect of Judaism at every moment. But if it doesn't make sense, says the Bessam Rosh, that there should be a mitzvah that makes you ill. Wow. And I have a proof. Tell me if you like this proof. V'rai l'kach. V'divri ha-mishnah b'sukkah, a mishnah that we all learned when we were in third grade or fourth grade, when we learned mishnah y'sukkah. And there it says that a sick person is pater from the mitzvah of sukkah. Not just a sick person, but his mishamshim as well. Now, can I ask you a question? Why does it say a sick person is pater from a sukkah? Anybody who's uncomfortable is a pater from a sukkah. Right? If there are bees, and it's uncomfortable, if it's raining, and it's uncomfortable, then you're pater from a sukkah. Why does it say a chola is pater from a sukkah? Says the Bessam Rosh, the reason why the Mishnah said a sick person is pater from a sukkah, even though you're theoretically pater from a sukkah, even with less than being sick, even just being mitztar, why does it say that you're sick? To teach you that a sick person is pater from all mitzvos. L'kach kasa ha-mishnah chola, to teach us a bin and av to all the mitzvos, that a person who is sick is pater from that mitzvah. Wow. Somebody ask me a question?
Yeah. We know, let's say, specifically that the
you're a little bit low. Could you? Or maybe it's just I have you low. Yeah, go ahead.
It's me. Chola is not pater in mitzvahs.
You're saying a chola is not pater in mitzvahs. I'm not saying that a chola is pater in mitzvahs in general. I'm saying that if a mitzvah is going to make somebody more sick, then maybe they are pater from that mitzvah. So if you are, if a sick person is going to have to be in the sukkah and that will worsen their condition, they are, not only are they, if you're mitzvah, you're pater from the sukkah. If you have even a little mild headache, you're pater from a sukkah. Why does the Mishnah say chola? To teach you that cholim are pater from mitzvahs in general. And that's what he's saying. Yeah, if you're going to eat the maror, you're going to eat the matzah, you're going to get sick, it's bad, your stomach is going to react to it, you get allergy, you have allergies. If you eat one of these things, you're going to have an allergic reaction. I'm not talking about anaphylactic, that it's going to be dangerous. Although you're going to have an allergic reaction, you can get it all hives, you can get itchy, you're going to cough, you get eyes, you're going to be really uncomfortable, you're going to be more than mitzvah, you're going to be a chola from it. You're pater from eating matzah. You're pater from eating mara. You're pater from sitting in a sukkah.
You feel sick and to drinking
that. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
There are gemaras that talk about...
Yes, there is a Gemara that says that somebody who was so careful about Dalet Kosos that even though he had a headache from Pesach until Shavuos, he still was careful to drink Dalet Kosos. That's a great point. Perhaps an answer would be that Dalet Kosos is different because of the Pirsuma Nisa component, and I'll prove it to you. Because there's also a halacha that you don't have to spend a certain amount of money, as we'll talk about later, for mitzvos. But when it comes to certain mitzvos, you do have to spend a lot of money. Do you know which ones?
Dalet Kosos is one of them.
Dalet Kosos, as well as Hanukkah candles. Why? Because of Pirsuma Nisa. So for Pirsuma Nisa, the power of Pirsuma Nisa needs that you have to even spend money that you don't have. You have to literally sell the shore of your back only for Hanukkah candles, not for other mitzvos, not to buy lulav and esrog, not to buy a sukkah, not to buy matzah, but for Dalet Kosos, yes. What do you mean? Matzah is d'oraisa, Dalet Kosos is d'rabbanan. What do you mean? Lulav and Esrog is d'oraisa, and Chanukah candles are d'rabbanan. Sorry, the chiyuv of Pirsuma Nisa is so strong that it obligates you to take a further step, and you have to be willing to spend all your money because Pirsuma Nisa is different. So therefore, it could be that for Pirsuma Nisa, you do have to make yourself sick, even though you don't have to make yourself sick for a regular mitzvah. Even a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's one point. Okay, we just said one svara. We're now going to say another svara. Totally different svara now, and the following svara also might apply to somebody with OCD in a very different way. Says the Bessam Rosh the following fabulous svara. You know, there's a very big mitzvah in the Torah. It's called keeping healthy. Mitzvah or healing yourself if you're sick. Mitzvah gedola lahavros gufo mikol choli. I'll prove it to you. I'll give you a good example. Are you allowed to measure things on Shabbos? Let's take a... Don't look at the screen. Look at me for a second. Are you allowed to measure things on Shabbos? You're not allowed to measure. It's usher to measure things. Says the Beis Yosef, if you want to take somebody's temperature, or if you want to measure out medicine, it's mutter, no problem. Why? Because that's a measuring shel mitzvah. It's a measuring shel mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is keeping yourself healthy. There's a mitzvah to keep yourself healthy. Says the B'Samin Rosh, look at this incredible thing on the screen. Mitzvah gedolah, how do you keep yourself healthy? The osik b'mitzvah, while you're being involved in keeping yourself healthy and doing what you got to do to stay healthy, that's being osik b'mitzvah. Once you're osik b'mitzvah, guess what? You're potter min ha-mitzvah. I'm busy keeping myself healthy, doing whatever I got to do to keep my stomach healthy and not to fall into gastrointestinal problems from eating things like maror. Oh, now a mitzvah like maror comes my way. I'm being osik in the mitzvah, keeping myself healthy. That is pushed off. That pushes off, I'm sorry, the mitzvah of maror from latching on to me in the first place. Now, this is a little bit of a stretch, I think, because in order to apply the rule of osik mitzvah padmanus, it has to be that you're actively osik, and therefore you can't disentangle yourself from mitzvah A to do mitzvah B. That's a question in the sugya of osik mitzvah padmanus. Are you actively doing something, or is it even if you're not active, you're just being distracted? Well, I don't want to get into the sugya, but that's another svara. And therefore, look what he says. If somebody is going to actually get sick from eating matzah maror, b'chol hanofel mishkav ein mechayv nosa b'davar hakashalo. And you don't have to bring yourself to that. And it's even an iser, he concludes, if you make yourself sick for doing a mitzvah. Not only are you not allowed to get sick to do a mitzvah, but it's usur to make yourself sick from doing a mitzvah. Now I want to ask you a question. This kid, this young man, this Ben Torah, who is this mitzvah of Kriya Shema and Tefillah, which is keeping him in bed until 3 in the afternoon on a regular, almost every day, that is, in my mind, certainly he has a mitzvah to heal himself from his OCD as much as he can. Mitzvah gedola l'havos gufo. It's a mitzvah to make himself healthy. OCD is not just an illness, it's an illness to the mind, which is no different than an illness to the body. And therefore, he's osik b'mitzvah. If doing the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, doing the mitzvah of Tefillah in the morning, is going to mess up his OCD and make him not be able to be a productive person, then he's probably putter from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema and the mitzvah of Tefillah. And again, the first svara that he said, that B'Samin Rosh said before, was it's not the way of the Torah to obligate you to do things that are make you sick. And the second thing that we're saying is a different svara, that it's a application of osik b'mitzvah patamnus. You're osik in the midst of keeping yourself healthy and sane, and therefore you're going to be exempt from doing a mitzvah that will take you away from that goal. So that was two other svaras to add to this heter. Now, I spoke to David Cohn. David Cohn is the posik for Ohel. David Cohn is known in America as perhaps the top expert in halacha and mental health. And the number of shilas that he gets specifically in the area of mental health is probably more than any other posik in America. This is one of his fortes. And I called him. And when I told him I'm dealing with someone with OCD, and davening, before I even told him what the shiloh was, because it's different than the normal shiloh, that is you always repeat davening. So he told me, you're talking about the Orthodox astronaut joke. And I said, the Orthodox astronaut joke, he said? I said, sorry, Rabbi, I don't know the joke. So he said, okay, I'll tell you the joke. So the joke is that the astronaut, the Orthodox astronaut finally, as he travels to space and he gets to the moon and he flops down and collapses on the moon. And his fellow astronaut says, Yankel, what's wrong? Why don't you have, why you flop down the moon? He said, well, I was just davening Shachas Min Chamar, Shachas Min Chamar, Shachas Min Chamar all day long. I'm just so tired, whatever. So that's what he was saying, that oftentimes that's the OCD with tefillah. You're repeating tefillah again and again and again, davening for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it is. That was the Orthodox astronaut joke that he thought I was going to refer to. So, but then I said, no, this shah is different. This is not a person who's repeating his words, although he does that sometimes, possibly also. It's a different shah. It's that the very fact that he has to daven is going to make him unable to get out of bed in the morning because he's scared that he has to daven. He's scared that he's going to have this daven properly, that he has to meet some Kriya Shema, so therefore he's just not going to get a bed because he's scared that he's, you know, again, just again, it's a disease. So the Rav David Cohn related to me a Chelkas Yoav. There might be in other places as well, but the Chelkas Yoav, I want you to know who he is because it's going to be important in a minute and a half. The Chelkas Yoav, first of all, he's one of the Poskei Hadar in the late second half of the 1800s. And he learned with a certain Rabbi Borenstein, the Agudas Ezov. And then he learned further under the son of the Agudas Ezov. Who's the son of the Agudas Ezov? A different Borenstein, the Avni Nezer. Who is the Avni Nezer? The Avni Nezer is the Egle Tal, the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, the Shem Yishmael's father. That was the Avni Nezer. Now, the reason why I'm telling you that is you'll see in a minute, we're going to see an Avnei Nezer. And you're going to see that this halacha that we're going to see from Chelkas Yoav is actually also seen in a different tshuva, which we'll see later in just a minute or two in the Avnei Nezer himself. So that's why I wanted to realize he's a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. Look at what the Chelkas Yoav says. The Chelkas Yoav says, look at this, and this is so explicit, it almost could make you, I don't know what. Says the Chelkas Yoav, Al kein nirli bara, whatever he's talking about. The second line, kol heicha, shehamitzah tigrulin lo choli. Wherever there's a situation where the mitzvah will cause a person sickness, even she'ein bo sakana. If it's a choli she'esh bo sakana, of course you could violate anything and everything to save a life or potential life saving. I'm talking about choli she'ein bo sakana. He's not going to be able to operate properly. That's a chol. Somebody who's going to be in bed is a classic case of a chol she'ein bo sakana. And the mitzvah that we're dealing with is a mitzvah that's a kum va'aseh, but kum va'aseh, potter milkaima. Why? Does he say it here? No, he doesn't say it here. We'll see soon. He says clearly, Chelkas Yoav, that it's clear in the Gemara and the Ramah, that tzar gadol dino kechola. First he sets down that if you have a chola, shem v'sakana, you don't have to do a mitzvah to make yourself a chola. And then he says, and we know that the parameters of somebody who is bitzar gadol is equivalent to a chola, shem v'sakana. So even if you say that this person with OCD is not a chola, shem v'sakana, which it could be that he is a chola, but even if you say he's not a chola, he's certainly mitzar. Oh boy, is he mitzar. He's in his mind, he's dealing with such emotional torment while he's sitting in his bed, knowing he wants to get out of bed, knowing that he has to daven, but he's terrified of doing it. He's living a life of that's torment. That's tsar. That's incredible tsar. So that has the halacha of being a chola. And a halacha of a chola doesn't have to be do a mitzvah saseh. That is what he says. Where does he get it from? So he gets it from a svara that we mentioned by Sukkah, but there's another source where you could say this. Another way you could say this, and that is, this is a point that Rav David Cohn told me, and also a svara that Rav Herschel Schechter raised in my conversation with him about this shaila. Gemara Ksuva says the following. It's also Yishalmi, numerous places in the Yishalmi. Ba'usha hiskinu, they made a takana. When you spend money for mitzvah, al yevazbeis yosem yichomesh. You're not supposed to spend more than a fifth of your wealth on doing a mitzvah. Like, we know that halacha from the context of tzedakah, right? When you give tzedakah, you're not supposed to give more than a fifth of your wealth. But it's not just tzedakah. It's any mitzvah. It's any mitzvah. I'll show you what I mean by that. Look here in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchis Lulav and Esrog, says Rama, somebody doesn't have an Esrog. And it's very important to see the next five words. Excuse me. Osha'ar mitzvah overes. He doesn't have some other mitzvah, and if he doesn't do the mitzvah now, he loses out on the mitzvah forever. Says the Ramah, Ain't tzarich levav beis aleha hon rav. You don't have to spend a huge amount on it. As they said, hamevaz beis ali vaz beis yosef mechomesh, even for mitzvah veris. There's a famous story about Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman in the book All for the Boss. He went. He was in England. He went to France, to England. I don't remember. He was in Europe. He traveled to Europe, and this is probably in the 40s. And he went somewhere, and there was no minyan for Maariv. So he took a plane to another part of the country to get Maariv. Now, I know nowadays you could fly JetBlue for $30 one way. I assure you that in the 1940s or 1950s, whenever that Shiloh was, it was a hon rav. And therefore, as important as Tefillah B'Tzibur is, it was not an obligation. It was a mitzvah chassidus. The Rama says explicitly that even if you're going to miss out on a mitzvah d'oraisa, a mitzvah overes of a mitzvah d'oraisa, you don't have to spend too much money on it. But, very important criteria. Because Rama continues, that's only true by mitzvah saseh. But lo saseh, yitin koma mono kodem shiavar. You have to give up all of your wealth rather than, God forbid, violate a lo saseh. So to do a violated law, let's say, we're not going to get into now. At least for the fulfillment of mitzvahs, let's say, if something's going to cost you more than 20% of your wealth, you don't have to fulfill that mitzvah, let's say. What does that have to do with my shayla? We're not talking about a person who is paying money. I'm talking about a kid, a young man, a ben Torah, who can't make his way to shul, to daven, because he's in bed. He can't get out of bed because of his OCD. That's nothing to do with money. Now here's the Avnei Nezer. Remember we saw that svar of the Chalkas Yoav, Talmud of the Avnei Nezer? Rabbo said, look at what the Shaila that his Rebbe was asked. His Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, was asked the following. The Avnei Nezer, Yoredei Shun Chafav, was asking about a baby was born, and the baby had some problem. The Avnei Nezer, again, lived in the second half of the, the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s. The Avnei Nezer was asked, the baby was born, and there were some problems with his feet. I don't know exactly what the problems with his feet were, but from birth there was some problems with the muscles, the bones, whatever they were. And they had to put a cast on it at birth if they want to solve this baby's foot problem. But if there's a cast on the bottom half of the baby, then you can't do bris milah. Okay, so do it in a week. Do the bris milah, and then you'll put the cast on. If you do the bris milah afterwards, then you're not going to solve it. Whatever it was. It was one or the other. You had to choose either to heal the baby's legs or to do a bris milah on the eighth day. Look at the shayla. Yelesh shenol letzleim. Baby who's born with a limp. I mean, it means more than a limp because babies don't walk when they're born. Varofim amashir fluasu he lasim raglav begeves miyad. Put his feet into a cast immediately. However, maybe the bones weren't fused together. I know by the skull. Dr. Pinto, you're a pediatric ER doctor. You know this better than me. You can help me. I know that the bones on the head for a baby are not yet fused together. So it could be there are other some bones that maybe have to, that are still flexible. There could be some sickness where that might be a certain case in certain parts of the body for in certain obviously unique illnesses. However, ulam im yanichus a geves, geves is a cast, lo yuchlu lo molu b'liyom hashmi, you won't be able to give him a bris milah. On the other hand, if you want to give him a bris milah on the eighth day, you can't put him in a cast. So the question is, could you be mevatel the mitzvah of bris milah on the eighth day, right? Kriv karis actually. Mitzvah saseh of bris milah, not to do on the eighth day, in order to heal his legs. Look at the next line, and the next line is $1 trillion. Says the Avnei Nezer, how much would you spend to be able to walk? You spend 20% of your wealth? Oh yeah, somebody who can't walk, he definitely, somebody who's in an invalid or in a wheelchair, he definitely spent 20% of his wealth to be able to walk. That means that for you, not walking is, or the ability to walk is, worth 20% of your wealth. And therefore, you don't have to give up more than 20% of your wealth for a mitzvah saseh. Wow! Knocked it out of the park. Incredible tshuva. Says, let's see that inside. Says Avnezer, me'achav kol adam ha'yomuch levater, you definitely spent more than 20% of your wealth. Kadesh lo yehei tzaleh, so you wouldn't be an invalid in a handicap. En kein ein adam chayv lishar tzaleh, kadeh l'kayim mitzvah saseh. You don't have to remain an invalid in order to be fulfilled mitzvah saseh. Gentlemen, would this young man, or would any young man who's suffering, God forbid, this terrible disease of OCD, and he's incapable of getting out of bed for 7 hours a day, after he wakes up, that's after a night's sleep, wakes up at 7, 8 in the morning and is in bed for 7 or more hours, wouldn't he pay 20% of his wealth to be able to rid himself of that OCD and have a productive life? And 100%. If that's the case, he's putter from the mitzvah that would be causing this illness. If that is, again, obviously the mitzvah is not causing the OCD. The OCD is there. But this mitzvah that is paralyzing him is definitely worth, is definitely pushed off by 20% of his wealth, and even more than 20% of his wealth is his desire to get rid of this paralyzing OCD. And this, indeed, is the conclusion of Rav Asher Weiss. Again, that was a shaila about Bris Mila. Here we're going to talk about Rav Shaila, the Menachas Asher, is actually dealing with OCD per se. Let me see if I have it here. Hold on. Yeah, I think I have the tshuva open right here. I could show it to you. Yeah. If you look on the screen, you see this is tshuva. Kuf Lamedal Hanhagas Halacha Be OCD. This is Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva about OCD. And I wanted to share with you one small section. He says, he's talking about a young man, a young married man, a very Yirei Shemayim person who repeats Kriya Shema and repeats words and is worried that if he doesn't say it again, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah. He says, you know what? Don't do the mitzvah because of your OCD. He's a precious Jew who's terribly overwhelmed by a terribly paralyzing illness called OCD. He's a precious Jew, though. In order to heal himself from his OCD, so that in the future he will be able to afterwards, after he's hopefully healed somewhat from OCD, which is somewhat manageable if it's treated. If you deal with it, it is manageable. You might not be able to get rid of it immediately, entirely, but you could get it under control. There are therapies for it. What's the svara? And he brings, and we're finishing with this, the svara that we started with. If we're not going to permit him to be mevatel these mitzvos, you know, if I tell this boy, don't say Kriya Shema for the next month, the next 2 months, he'll finally get his life back. If he doesn't say Kriya Shema, and he'll finally get up in the morning, be productive, feel good about himself. Part of the issue was that he felt bad about himself in terms of the self perpetuating cycle. If you break that cycle, he'll be able to become a more productive person and be fulfill so many more mitzvos. That, Rabosai, in my mind, is what I have seen so far, four different svaras, to be matir isurim daraisa, for to be matir not fulfilling a mitzvah daraisa, and let's review them with this four-point outline. Number one, you have the svara to be mechalal a mitzvah now so that he could do mitzvah in the future. We had a very unusual svara that if it's darchei noam, it's the ways of the Torah to be pleasant, it can't be that the Torah would say, do something that is cause of illness. We saw the very beautiful svara that you're being osik in the midst of keeping yourself healthy, and if you're going to be sucked into this dangerous, this painful illness of OCD, it's not healthy. So if you're here trying to heal yourself from OCD, you're osik in the mitzvah, then you're going to be putter from the mitzvahs that are holding you back. And finally, this very powerful halachic svara, that you don't have to give up more than a fifth of your wealth to do a mitzvah, and curing yourself from OCD is certainly greater than a fifth of your wealth, without a question. And therefore, from all these sources, it seems to me clear, as explicitly passed by Rav Asher Weiss for at least one of these svaras, it seems clear from all the compilation of these svaras that it would be permitted, and my intent is indeed to tell this person, as I also corroborated with Rav David Cohn, because of this illness, he is not obligated in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema or Tefillah in the morning, and hopefully that will enable him to become a more productive person and fulfill all of his mitzvahs more productively and hopefully more happily.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.